Amen. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, just like to pray just before we look in the Word. Thank you, Father, for your everlasting Word, for your Gospel that's given to us, that takes us where we are and brings us into a completely new place with you. Thank you, Lord, and pray, yeah, has been prayed already, that you would speak to us again this morning. And thank you, you are a God who speaks. Lord, you're not a God afar off, but one who's near to your people. And we just bless you this morning for speaking to us already, for being with us, for shielding us, Lord, in the fold of your embrace this morning, of your love that is surpassing all knowledge. Lord, it passeth knowledge, that dear love of thine, my Jesus, Saviour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just want to pass on something that I heard from my son-in-law last night. My son-in-law Paul, who has been here sometimes, and he's a great guy, and he's a really original thinker in Christian things, and he loves sharing the gospel. So anyway. One day, he wrote to Jürgen. You know Jürgen? Anybody here know Jürgen? Yeah? Mr. Klopp down the road at Anfield. Anyway, offering his services. Because Liverpool FC had quite a lot of injuries to their star players, and they were playing a cup game against somebody or other. And anyway, he wrote to him and said, "Mr. Klopp, I am here to offer you my services for your team for the match next week." He said, "I'm not as young as some of your star players. I've just turned 40, and I'm not probably as fit as I can be. But I am very happy to play for you if you would like to accept me as one of your players." And he sent it to Jürgen. Can you imagine that? And he got a reply, thanking him for his offer, but declining to take it up. But why did Paul do that? Well, the reason was, he said, you know, you can offer your services to Liverpool FC or to any human organization, and you can get turned down. But he said, you can come to Jesus any day, and he'll never turn you away. Isn't that great? Jesus never, ever turned anyone away. Isn't that wonderful? Whosoever comes to me, I will never cast out, never reject. You'll never suffer rejection from Jesus. Hallelujah. He was rejected and despised of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we turned our faces away from him, and we despised him, and we esteemed him not. We esteemed him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for my transgressions. And the chastisement of Jesus brought peace to us all. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? So anyway, bless you, Paul. Okay. you're just amazing. Anyway, Jesus never turned anyone away. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12 now. Okay, this is all about running the race. Running the race. And we're all in it if we have put our trust in Jesus Christ. This morning we are all in the race. The Christian life is always a fight of faith, but also a race of faith. And Jesus wants to encourage us today to run that race as he wants us to run it, because he is in us, running it in us and for us and through us. And glory be to his wonderful name. So here's a few thoughts from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The first thought is, run light. Run light. Okay? When we're in this race, it's an endurance race. And to be honest, I have never, ever seen a fat marathon runner. I don't know if you have, but I have never seen a fat marathon runner. And this is a marathon that we're in. It's an endurance race. It's a test of stamina. It's a test of will, not willpower, but will subjected to Jesus Christ, will submitted to him. If our will is submitted to him, he is the one who is going to run this race in us and with us. Glory be to his wonderful name. Just back in Hebrews, we're going to go to a few places this morning. Just a couple of chapters before, chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. You remember the writer to the Hebrews, he's writing to a people who are kind of discouraged. They've gone through quite a lot of difficult things. They'd lost the beautiful temple, which was still standing at this time. They'd lost all those beautiful ceremonies, they'd lost the sacrifices, they'd lost all the visual aspects of their holy religion. And they were left with a little group meeting in a house somewhere, probably in secret because of fear of the religious authorities in Jerusalem. And the writer is writing to them to encourage them to keep pressing on. Don't give up, don't slack. Okay, why? Well, here we are, chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Your confidence has great reward. There's something waiting for you. When we trust in Jesus, we're not on a fool's errand. We're not in a fool's paradise. It's not pie in the sky. There is a reward for every man, woman, and child who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus says there is a reward. If we keep our faith in him, trust in him, and endure to the end, hallelujah, there is a reward. 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Endurance is something we need. And this word endurance is one of these wonderful New Testament Bible words in the Greek, hupomone. Hupo means under, mone means basically staying under, remaining under. In other words, being steadfast, patiently enduring the things you have to endure in this life, because this is the will of God for you, wherever you're at now. And this is talking about our situation in life, where we are today with Jesus. He is the one who is surrounding our lives. Nothing can reach us except by his permissive will. Nothing can touch us. No affliction can come to us unless Jesus allows it. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. We have need of endurance. Something we need. Okay. Let's go to Matthew. Jesus himself mentioned this. Exactly the same words. Matthew 24 and verse 13. If you want to follow me, please do, but don't worry if I go too fast, okay. Matthew 24:13, Jesus is saying, because lawlessness, okay, we'll go to 11. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. I went to an app this morning to load onto my phone, and then I discovered it was Church News, and then I discovered it's the Church of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormons. All right? But it's just listed as Church News. Yeah? So, false prophets abound and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Yeah, Jesus said that. He said because the world is going to get in a state that we can see around us as we look at the news day by day. Okay? Lawlessness abounds. Sadly, there are many, Jesus says, whose love will grow cold because maybe they feel that God isn't in control of things. Maybe they feel that, is it worth it to suffer all these afflictions and these things you have to go through because we can't see God anyway. He's invisible and we're not sure that he's there. And Jesus says, but he who endures to the end shall be safe. He who endures. The one who endures, goes through with God, hallelujah, will be safe. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, this gospel has reached to every corner of the earth. Not to every particular ethnic group, but the end is in sight, beloved. The end is in sight. Did you know that? There's a church in all the nations of the United Nations. There is a church existing in every country on earth. Hallelujah. And there are places in the world where Christians outnumber non-Christians in their societies. And it's the love of God which is shed abroad in their hearts, and they're reaching out to those around them. The love of many will grow cold, but the love of many will grow hot for Jesus as well. Glory to his wonderful name. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. We have need of endurance. Something we need. And we can ask God for it. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? Whatever we have need of, we can just ask. Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. James says, you have not because you ask not. And if you feel like you're flagging, ask of Jesus and he will give. And there's nobody among us, I'm sure, who would say we never flag in this race. You're never breathless. You're never gasping for a drink of water. Yeah? You see those runners gasping for a drink of water. I was with somebody the other day, and they'd been on a run, and the water was missing at a particular station, and they kind of nearly collapsed. Luke 21, verse 19. By your endurance, by your hupomone, you will ensure the safety of your soul. Okay? The AV has possess, I think. The New King James also has possess your souls. The literal meaning is you will ensure the safety of your soul by your endurance. If we hold to ask the Lord to keep us in this race. Ask the Lord to help us endure. Ask the Lord to give us his strength day by day. To hang in. Endurance, there's some wonderful examples around. If anybody has ever heard of Ernest Shackleton and his expedition to the Antarctic in 1914, the story of endurance, it's a wonderful story. And what he did to save 27 men from certain death by his endurance. They were stuck in the ice for a year. The ship went down when it was crushed by the ice, and they took to the lifeboats. They eventually managed to get to a barren rock in the South Atlantic that had no food except penguins. So they ate the penguins. But they knew that no ships passed that way, and if they stayed there, there was certain death. So what did Shackleton do? He took one of the lifeboats and a few of his men, and they sailed the South Atlantic, which is the stormiest ocean on Earth, in a lifeboat for nearly 1,000 miles, surviving on starvation rations. And they're aiming for South Georgia, which was a speck in the ocean. A speck in the ocean. But he had a brilliant navigator with him, and he found South Georgia. The only trouble was, when they hit South Georgia, they were on the wrong side of the island. On the other side, there was a whaling station. On this side, there were towering mountains and glaciers. So what did he do? He got out of the boat, and he and two of his men walked for 36 hours straight to get to the whaling station, because he wanted to save his men. That's endurance. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, because he wanted to save you and me from certain death. Glory to his wonderful name. Shackleton made it to the whaling station, and not the next day, but the day after. A ship, he went out in a ship back to that island to try and save his men. It took 3 goes, but in the end, they managed to take all the men off that barren rock, and everyone was brought back safe to the United Kingdom. It's a magnificent story. You can either read it or watch it on YouTube. There's Liam Neeson does a really good narration of it on YouTube. Highly recommended. There's endurance. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just have to hang in. When we first went to Thailand and lived in upcountry, it took a long time to see fruit coming in that particular part of the world, because there were no churches and very few Christians. The only Christians in the town where we lived was a lovely old lady who was a granny to our children. Mae Boo, her name was Mother Crab, but she was not at all crabby. She was lovely, illiterate, didn't know, couldn't read a word, but she knew Jesus in her heart, and she sang to Jesus. And she, her stepdaughter came to the Lord. They lived in a little cinder block house, and they, on a Sunday morning, they would sing praises to Jesus. and the neighbours would turn their radios up full blast to drown out the sound of these two little voices singing praise to Jesus. And that's when they needed endurance. And Mother Bull endured to the end, and she's with Jesus now. Hallelujah. Receiving her great reward. You have need of endurance. We all have need of endurance. We can ask the Lord for it. Glory to his wonderful name. Ask and you shall receive. If you're feeling weak this morning, ask him for his strength. Ask him for his grace. Ask him for everything you need right now in your heart. If you need it right now, ask him now and he will give it now. Because he is the God of now. Always, I am that I am. I am the God who always is his name. I am the God becoming all that my people need me to become. Don't worry, boys, Jesus said as he walked on the water, I am is here. I am is here to help you. I am is here to save you. I am is here to keep you to the end. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, if we need strength. I want you to know, says Paul, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What an awesome display of power that was. When God raised Jesus from the dead and then raised him to the highest place that heaven affords. Glory to his wonderful name. And that is the power, beloved, that's at work in you and me. Feeble as we feel, weak as we feel, that's the power of God at work in us. And we can ask God to strengthen us by that power today. Back to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. There's something we've got to do. Okay, we can ask God for his strength to endure. We can ask God for his inner strength that we need so much to keep us steadfast and walking with him. But we've got to lay aside every weight. Okay, weight here means anything that encumbers us, anything that impedes our progress. If you ask yourself this morning, Lord, ask the Holy Spirit in your heart, Lord, if you feel stuck, ask the Lord in your heart, Lord, what is it that's impeding my progress? Why am I stuck where I am? And the Holy Spirit is sure to show you what that thing may be. I don't know. There are all sorts of things that do impede our progress, that are encumbrances, that are weights. Someone prayed earlier about those things that weigh us down and the baggage that kind of hangs around that we don't want to have. Maybe it's fears, anxieties, or doubts. Jesus talked about those in Mark chapter 4 and I think it's verse 19. Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked about the things that are weights in our lives. And he said this, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Why is it important to know that these things choke the word? Well, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The writer to the Hebrews has just been talking about men and women of former times who really walked in faith with God in their day, and they saw God do amazing things in them and around them. Yeah, there was Noah, built a huge boat because he heard God say something to him, and everybody laughed at him except his family, and they had listened to him and they were safe. When the time came to go into that huge boat. And there was Abraham, who was in one of the richest cities on earth at the time, Ur of the Chaldees. You can go to the British Museum and check it out. The stuff from Ur of the Chaldees is in our museum in London. And it was one of the wealthiest cities on earth. And God said to Abraham, will you get out of this place, because the money and the wealth here is going to suck you in. And it was an evil place. It was totally immoral. It was totally immoral. And for the safety of his family, of his wife, he walked out. He walked out and left it all behind. And we live in our day when the world is totally immoral. And we have to walk out leave it behind. Every shred of it, every last shred of it, anything, whether it's in our books, or whether it's in our tablet, or on our PC, we have to obliterate the whole lot, delete the whole lot, throw away the whole lot, burn the whole lot if necessary. I always remember when I was a young Christian and I was very proud of my books. You know, books can sometimes weigh you down, especially if you have a lot of them, as I have. Anyway, I am trying to get rid of them slowly, but anyway, it's a slow process, I tell you. And much to Ruth's pain. I was very proud of my books, and I had a friend who was a big brother to me when I was a young Christian, and I wanted to show him my books. And I took him up and showed him my books. I said, "What do you think of those?" And he looked at them and he said, there's a few there that a Christian shouldn't have on his shelf." And I was absolutely gobsmacked. So anyway, I really esteem this brother, and I thank the Lord for him. And anyway, after he'd gone, I kind of went and looked again at the shelves, and I thought, oh yeah, when I was a student, I bought that one and that one and that one. And very clearly, the Holy Spirit showed me, take them out the back and burn them on a bonfire, which is what I did, and thank the Lord for that. Books can weigh you down. Baggage can weigh you down. Traditions can weigh you down if they're not good traditions. Yeah. Have you ever heard of genuflecting? Has anybody here ever genuflected? You wonder what I've got to come out with. Yeah, genuflection is when you come out of your pew and you drop one knee. Yeah. I was in a situation where I thought it was more important how many times I genuflected a day than what was going on in my heart. That's a vain tradition. Yeah, vain traditions. And Jesus was surrounded by people who had vain traditions. But glory be to God when we come to Jesus and we know him in our heart. Hallelujah. He is the one who walks with us. He is the one who cuts across and through all those vain traditions and begins to make us new men and women in him. Glory to his wonderful name. And sometimes those traditions are hard to leave behind. He knows that. He's very patient with us. But he says you've got to lay aside every weight, because they'll drag you down and they'll impede your progress, and you won't enjoy the liberty that he has called you to as a son or daughter of the living God. And also the sin that so easily ensnares us or crowds us around, the answer is, the word is originally, and that is unbelief. The what ifs of life. The what ifs of life. You know, I come from a family in the Midlands who were not a Christian family. And it was interesting the outlook that they had on certain things in life. And I went to visit after I'd become a Christian, and I needed to catch a train. And there was a car that was available to take me. One of the family had a car. But anyway, we had to have at least 3 backup plans in case the car broke down or ran out of gas or there was a riot in the streets on the way to the station. What if we all have those what ifs in life? What if the money runs out? Well, God will send a prophet and you'll have a bottle of oil in the house, and the prophet will say, pour out that bottle of oil into other bottles and you'll have enough to live on. God will never let you starve to death. His eye is on every child of his in every place in the world right now to make sure that they have enough to eat, even if it's only a little. I was in Cambodia with Ruth some years ago, and I went out with a pastor into the countryside. It was really the backwoods. And we had little meetings in very poor homes. But the people there are so kind and generous, they wanted to give us something to eat. So we ate, me and the pastor, we ate what they gave us, a plate of rice and 1 boiled egg to share between us. Another house, a plate of rice and some chilies to share between us. And that's all they had to eat. But they had something to eat. And it's amazing how God can sustain you when you're far away from home and you think there's nothing there. What if? The thing is about unbelief, the real question is, what if God doesn't turn up? What if God doesn't show up? I want to say this, God will always show up. He will always show up. Hallelujah. Whenever we are in that place where we need him, he will always show up. Glory to his wonderful name. So how do we overcome these things? The unbelief. How do we overcome the weights? How do we overcome in all those situations in life that face us down and shout at us that God doesn't exist, or if he does exist, he's forgotten all about us? Well, the psalmist says, wait on God and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's the opposite to what man says. Man says, race around, try and grub up enough stuff to live on. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. Those who wait on the Lord will rise up with wings as eagles. You'll fly. Hallelujah. We will fly if we wait on the Lord. We need to take time to do that. But we've got to run. We've got to run light, okay? Run without weights. Run without unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. Let's make it very plain. Unbelief is a sin. And really, it's the last thing that should be found in our hearts. But is it found in our hearts? Yes. Yes, it is, isn't it? I find it in my heart anyway. And I have to confess it and repent of it. And ask God to take it away. I can't take it away of myself. But I can receive the word of God. And when I receive the word of God into my innermost being, faith of God comes with it. Hallelujah. The faith of God is born in me when I receive the word of God and welcome it as it really is. The word of God in truth and not the word of a man. Okay, you hear the words of a man right now. But receive what God is saying to you in your innermost being and it will create faith in you for whatever God is wanting you to do today and tomorrow and the next day. Hallelujah. Faith it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. So as we welcome the word of God into our hearts, so faith is born. And we can walk the walk of faith with him. This is the victory that has overcome the world, says John. Our faith. As we stand in faith against those things that come against us, John says, this is victory. Just as we stand in faith, looking unto Jesus. Okay, we have to run light. We have to run looking. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Now this is a very special Bible word, New Testament word. Only occurs here in the whole of the New Testament. And it means to look away from everything else. To him. To Jesus. Hallelujah. Looking to Jesus. Who is the author and finisher of our faith. The originator. Author there is Archegon, the originator, the source, the beginner, the end of our faith. Our faith comes from Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we're here this morning. Our faith has come from Jesus. And if we have the faith of God in our hearts, that faith will be tested. That's why we need to look away unto Jesus and receive faith from him day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Because it's a walk of faith and it's a fight of faith. And there are tests of faith that come because we live in a fallen world. Because we live in a world, we're on enemy territory. This is why we need to look unto Jesus. We're in enemy territory, beloved, aren't we? Bunyan saw that and he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress of the man who was walking through the wilderness of this world with a great burden on his back until he saw the cross, and then the burden fell away and he knew he was safe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. How do we look unto Jesus? First of all, we look to him on the cross, which is what we've been doing this morning already. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9. It's talking about everything in subjection under man. We do not see yet things put under him, but we see Jesus. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Have we seen Jesus this morning in his suffering and his death? Have we seen him? Have we seen him? Have we been conscious of the fact that he allowed great iron spikes to be smashed into his hands and his feet for us? Because he loved us with an everlasting love and wanted us to be safe in his Father's arms and in his Father's house and to be safe forevermore. Hallelujah. Jesus did that for you and for me, beloved. Hallelujah. And for every man, woman and child on the face of the earth, which is why we need to share the gospel, this wonderful gospel of God's grace to us as we have opportunity. We see Jesus. We see him in his suffering. We need, as Oswald Chambers said, we need to brood much on the cross of Christ. I'd recommend the writings of Samuel Zwemer, who was a Jewish convert, became a missionary to Muslims. Fantastic writes, book about the cross that he has written. Andrew Murray and people like him. Oh, brooding on the cross of Jesus. But the best thing is to take a verse of scripture and use it to meditate on the death of Christ. How could one man die my death? How could one man die your death as well? How could one man die death for the whole of mankind? He could only do it by being the federal head of humanity as the second Adam and dying in humanity's place without sin for the sin of humanity. That's what Jesus did. And then by his own death, he took our death away. So we will never know separation from God if we belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we look to him in his authority and power. We look to him where he is right now. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. Glory to his wonderful name. It's good to come and worship, isn't it? Isn't it good to come and worship, be with our brothers and sisters and lift his name on high, as we have been doing this morning. As we gaze on Jesus in his suffering and death, as we thank him for the cross, but also, Lord, that we thank him that he is the one exalted at God's right hand, who has all authority and power in heaven and on earth to do the things that man cannot do and to keep sin in check. And we look to him for his return. Glory to his wonderful name. And beloved, I tell you, the things that are happening in the world today tell me that it's not far away. That Jesus is not far away. His return is not far away. It cannot be. With the way things are happening in the world today. We don't know how long, we don't know how many years. But we look to him for his return. Hallelujah. Because when he returns in glory, hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Lord. Everything will be right forevermore when Jesus returns. Blessed be his wonderful name. So consider him, okay, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. He was the Lord of glory. He knew all things, and yet he endured. He allowed that hostility to come, and he earthed it like a lightning rod in himself because of his great love for us. And then he went to the cross because of his great love for us. And he gave himself for our sins. Glory to his wonderful name. And lastly, the writer here says, you also need to endure chastening. Oh, chastening. You've forgotten about the chastening. Okay, this is the difficult bit. All right. Here the writer to the Hebrews speaks straight. He says, you've got to come under the discipline of the Holy Ghost. You've got to allow God to straighten your life out. My life, we sang it, didn't we? All the chaos and disorder. You came and you straightened me out. And God comes into our lives and part by part, bit by bit, God works in us, behavior by behavior, attitude by attitude, thought by thought. He comes to us and he says, now bring all your thoughts into captivity to Christ. Don't go wandering off into the ether. Don't go wandering off after this thing and that thing. Don't go after those things. Don't go after philosophy that's vain and empty and doesn't have any answers. Come into the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Because the discipline of the Holy Spirit is a broad field. It's a broad room. It's broad spaces. There are places to walk. where the Lord will reveal to us by His Spirit all that we need to know for our salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He won't tell us things that we don't need to know, glory to His name. But He will tell us things and He will bring us under the rod of His discipline. Why? Because He is refining our lives. He's changing us from glory to glory. He's redeeming us into the image of His Son. And the picture that comes to me is the one, that beautiful one in Malachi, right at the end of the Old Testament, where it talks of the Lord coming to His people, and suddenly He will come to His temple. He came suddenly the first time, He suddenly appeared in the temple, and the Lord will come suddenly the second time. In Malachi chapter 3, He'll suddenly come to His temple, the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Malachi prophesied 400 years before the Lord came. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He's like refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. What a wonderful picture. Here is the Lord coming and sitting over our lives as a refiner. And silver has to be refined. And it was refined in the East in a bowl. And the silversmith sits cross-legged in front of the bowl. The bowl has a fire under it. And he has a pipe. And every so often he blows the fire so that it gets hotter. And when the silver gets hotter, the scum rises to the surface. I always remember a dear missionary called Helen Rosevere saying, when you go to the mission field and the heat is on, the scum will rise to the surface. I find that so true in my life. When the heat was on and you're in a different culture and you're in circumstances that weren't congenial and you had lacks and you had mosquitoes biting you and all that kind of stuff, then you find the scum rises to the surface and you have to ask Jesus to forgive you and help you again, to start again today. And He does that. Bless His wonderful name. He does that because He's a refiner. He's a refiner's fire. And what the silversmith does when the scum rises to the surface, he takes his rod, a very small stick, this one, and God's rod is a very small one, and he just gently wipes the surface and he takes the scum away. And then the fire may be made hotter so that until that, well, it says seven times, it needs it seven times, the perfect number, until the silversmith can see his reflection in the surface of that precious metal. And that's what God is after in our lives too. We are, Jesus is our file leader leading many sons to glory. But we have to go through this chastening. We have to go through the refining. We have to go through the testings of our faith because we're in the life we're in. Hallelujah. But we have Jesus. Let's look away to Him. Let's look unto Jesus. Yeah. Let's ask Him for the strength to endure. Let's ask Him for the inner power to do what He wants us to do in our day and our generation. Glory to His wonderful name. Amen. 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 Amen.